Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
We are joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Brett, the host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Insider calls presented by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers the professional-grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett, good morning. You've been pretty adamant, as the Padres have struggled offensively, as a former big leaguer yourself. These guys are veterans. They're going to get it turned around. Hasn't really happened yet. At what point should we start to really be concerned that this is going to be a really bad season for Manny, for Merrill? Tatis is hitting a little bit better, but still just has the one home run. When do you actually get worried as a big leaguer?
Right now.
All right. Thanks, Brett.
It's been answered.
Talk to you next week.
Yeah. I have a lot of grace. April's one thing. May, June. You're starting to wonder what's this year going to be like from an offensive standpoint. It's been remarkable. The one saving grace, I think, and I think it's really important to today's game compared to past generations. It's not like this 15, 20 years ago with the playoff format and the way it's set up. It's all about getting there. And with the injury, it seems like the game today is so injury prone.
Sure.
I think that's why you see the Dodgers have had so much success, because of their depth. It's almost like the 162 doesn't matter anymore, if that makes sense. It's like when I played, it was 162. We got to steamroll people. We got to win as many games as we can. We're definitely winning our division. That was the mindset. And you get to the postseason and it's okay, now we got to go. I don't think it's like that anymore. Injuries happen all the time. The 10-day IL is just a regular thing, it seems like. The guys that have the most pitching, one guy goes down, we got another guy to fill in here, and boom, boom, boom. We hold serve, we have a solid year to get a seat at the table, and hopefully then we've done what we needed to do at the trading deadline. We've got all our ducks in a row, and now we go to that postseason, which, by the way, I loved every postseason I got to be in. I grew up watching Dad when it was the East and the West, and there was one playoff series, and then you go to the World Series. So it was that 162 was so important. But to be honest with you, from an entertainment value, I love the way it is now. I love all these teams getting in. It's the easiest time ever to get into the postseason, but I think they've been overwhelmingly entertaining. So the one saving grace, I think, for the Padres, in this long-winded answer I'm giving you, is with their offense being so anemic, and it has been. They're holding serve and they're right there and they've survived this. You know, you got to hope in the second half. And I have no idea the updates with a Musgrove and a Pivetta. You've survived these things. I know Marquez had a rehab assignment last night.
Yep.
King has done well. They had a rough week. I mean, but they haven't had many rough weeks, this Padre team, to be sitting here where they're at. Bueller has been, I watched Bueller at the beginning. And I thought, oh, I don't know. You know what? He's held on pretty good. He's got a sub 5 ERA. Giolito, for me, I've got to see some more.
Sure.
Canning, okay. I think Vasquez has turned the corner. I think he's gotten better in the last year. But you really need those guys. You need a Pivetta. I don't know what the Musgrove future is, but you're going to need some things. This bullpen, that's the one thing with the Padres I don't worry about, because I watch all these games and I still think pound for pound, I'll take this Padres bullpen over anybody. And you know what? They really play tight defense. This Padre team is exceptional on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think Manny's going to hit 170 all year. I don't think Tatis is going to have one homer. But guys like that, we expect Tatis to hit 30, 35. We expect Manny, you know, Manny's power's there. Manny's probably going to hit 25 home runs. But we expect Manny to hit a little better than 170. So you got guys like that. You know, Jackson Merrill, we're expecting at this point, we're getting a little more out of Jackson Merrill than we have. And I don't think this team went into this season going, okay, we're going to rely on Andujar and Sheets to carry us. And which have been the guys, the go-to guys in that lineup. And I don't think that's the way the Padres lined it up. But all that negative I just said, positive is they're holding serve and they're still a playoff team at this point. They just, this, something's got to happen with this offense. And I don't think you can keep going on this scenario. I don't think you can just come dead last in all the offensive categories and expect to be a playoff and a team taken serious in the postseason. But we'll see. You've definitely got the track record of players to do it. Whether they're going to do it or not, we'll see.
Talking to former big league player, former all-star, and former Major League Baseball hitting coach Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning. I see the word approach thrown around a lot on social media, a lot. I hate this team's approach. Is that something, Boone? Yeah, so I see it a lot, and you know, explain approach, right? A team organizational
good
philosophy,
yeah,
right? I want a former, again, all-star, big leaguer, big league hitting coach.
You said Major League Baseball player.
Yes.
Come on, Woods. That's amateur hour.
All-star.
All right, finish your question.
Okay, so yeah. What is approach? When you and walk
does
us through,
it even exist? Is that something that actually exists?
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is it
a team-wide approach?
Team-wide approach. So when you got into the Rangers organization, you walked in day one and said, this is our new approach, fellas. Your approach before was wrong. Now Booty's here. It's right.
Talk Booty, to me. Whatever Booty says, that's correct.
I am the guru of approaches. Talk to us about approach.
Well, I think there's a team-wide approach, absolutely. And then there's an individual approach. And that's something that you have to figure out every day. The individual, I think, is really important because that adds to the collective. So sure. On a daily basis, I need to get to the ballpark, analyze myself. Who am I facing? How am I swinging? What is my swing like right now? Can I go with my A swing? Do I need to go with my B swing? Do I need to go with my C, maybe emergency swing to survive and maybe help my team win today? Find out who's pitching, what's my history against him, how am I seeing the ball. All those go into my calculations going into the game from an individual standpoint. The team approach, the collective, I think, and I preached this in Texas. I didn't come in and say, this is the way we're going to do it. But it's just, it's a very simple thing. We play baseball the way you're supposed to play baseball. We move the line. When we get a runner on second, doesn't mean we give ourselves up, give our bat up, but we give it our best to move that runner to third. When we get to third, we have a different mindset as we don't strike out right now because we have to touch this ball for this runner to score from third base. That's the approach winning teams, great teams have always played. And I'll tell you, it's very, when you start doing it, especially when the big guys in the lineup start playing the game correctly, it really catches on. And that 25th man on the roster is going, wow, if Tatis is playing that way, if Machado's playing that way, I'll be damned if I'm not going to play that way. I remember in the early 2000 teams with Seattle, it's the best I've ever seen. You know, I watched Edgar Martinez do it. And I said, if Edgar Martinez do it, I'm going to do it. The thing that people don't think about in the approach of the collective for a team, it's not that important. It's not that most important thing is that you move that guy from second to third. It's that guy on deck may have not driven in a run for 10 days. He knows he's going to drive in a run again one day, but he's one of my main guys in the lineup. If I see the guy in front of him move a runner on purpose to get him an easy RBI and he hits a sacrifice fly and scores, all of a sudden his mind says, I can drive in a run. That helps the collective. Sure. That's what a winning team is. When you can genuinely sit in a dugout and genuinely pull for your teammates, that's something. I don't see that a lot. You know, you see the guys that are worried about themselves. And I'm not saying this Padre team. I'm just saying I've seen teams, I've played on teams where they're worried about themselves. Somebody does something good. Yeah, way to go. Why couldn't it be me? When you sit down and you have a genuinely excited and pulling for one another, that's a tough opponent to have.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I see that in this team.
I see it in this team.
It's a simple approach, though.
But the execution, right? Like, I see these guys. They genuinely root for each other. I believe that in my wholehearted, right? But it's the execution with these. I see it on Twitter, like, oh, they're playing hero ball. And I'm like, I don't see that either. I see them just not being good right now. That's what I'm seeing is like, but
exactly.
The collective slump is really hard to stomach.
Well, and it. You're from a fan's perspective, you're result oriented. So if you win the game, wow, they're playing good team baseball. If you lose the game, these are selfish SOBs.
Yep.
That's just life. That's what makes this world go round. That's what makes baseball great. That's what makes fans so unbelievable, is because they have that right to do it. It's the reason we get to do this for a living, is because these fans are allowed to be passionate about their players, about their team, come to the game, yell at you sometimes, boo you sometimes, and cheer you beyond belief when things are going well. That's what makes this game the game. When you're a player, you sign up for this, you know you're going to hear it, especially now. I didn't have to hear it on Twitter when I was playing. I just heard it on talk radio. I listened to Ben and Woods, and they used to blast me when I wasn't playing well. No, I'm kidding. But it's different now, but you have to, you know what you sign up for. That when you choose this occupation, you got to have thick skin and you got to be able to deal with that. But I love the fans' perspective, because it is, when they react that way, the typical answer is, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. No, that's called passion. That's called we love our team so much that sometimes we say irrational things, but that's what makes it great.
Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone with us, brought to you by Grainger on our Big League Wednesday. I guess when my approach question, and we just saw the Padres play the Washington Nationals, and a lot was made. Their strikeout rate is up, but Brett, they're also hitting for more slug. They're kind of selling out to try to do some damage. That's their philosophy under Blake Butera, do damage. The Padres, and Tony Gwynn Jr. talked about this yesterday during the broadcast. Padres are also selling out a little bit more. Their strikeout rate is up. They're not getting the results out of it, though. They're not getting the extra base hits, the slug, for the selling out. Is that's one thing you can do with an approach. You don't always
choke up with two strikes or just make your short swing. You'll take a few more strikeouts to do damage. It's just not working for the Padres right now.
Well, I think it sounds good. That's what the Washington Nationals are doing. They're selling out. Anytime I've heard a guy go, "Oh, we're going to try to hit for more power," good luck. You're dead in the water. I don't think that's a thing. It's not a thing. That's how you play baseball. You play it correctly. When you get to a 2-0, 3-1 count, you let it go. You're feeling good. You let it go. That doesn't mean I'm trying to hit a homer. I'm just trying to hit this ball harder than I think it's possible to hit a ball. Now, staying within the zone, not being out of control. But when you're a big leaguer, that tends to be expected. So I don't think it's that. You play the game right. You put the ball in play when you're supposed to put the ball in play. You move the line. You do the little things. That's how you win games. And for all these teams that say, we're selling out and we're going to hit more home runs this year, I don't believe you. I don't think that's possible. I think at my absolute best, when I was having my best year ever, I didn't sell out and think, oh, I'm going to hit more home runs this year. Oh, it's a home run count. Let me hit a home run. That's when I go backwards. No, let me hit this ball hard through the middle of the field, always staying through the middle of the field. So I think because they're the Nationals and they're doing a good job and they've got some young talent, they're having success. I don't think it's because they're selling out. I think it's because things are just going well and they've got good hitters hitting well. I think that's what it comes down to.
I mean, that's it, man. Hard middle, gap to gap. Nothing's changed in this game in 100
Nothing
years,
has
man.
Never. Like, we always stay through the middle. It keeps you on the off speed.
We have to stop.
Pull side air.
Hard middle.
I want to throw up when I hear that.
Right, you're right. Exactly. Like hard middle.
Except when you played, at least when you started, they didn't always have a defender that was standing right behind second base.
Yes.
Right.
They do now.
Brutal. Ben, that is a great point because, you know, I have a son-in-law and I always stay through the middle. But, Brett, they play it.
They do.
It doesn't mean you hit it there, okay? It means your approach is through the middle in your brain.
It's a state of mind.
Smoke something. It's like
state of mind.
When you hook a ball down the left field line and wrap it around the foul pole for a fair home run, what is that? That's really good. Thinking about doing that is really bad. So it's all thought process. And other than Tony Gwynn, I've never met anybody that can actually aim where they're going to hit the ball. Yeah. It's a thought process, and that's all it is.
It's a state of mind.
Appreciate it. Good stuff, I mean. Great as stuff, always, man. You've been killing it this season. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.